This is Outspoken, the podcast that's not afraid to say exactly what you're thinking.
Our names are Amy, Kate and Sophie Torber. We're identical triplets, but we often don't have identical opinions. So sometimes things can get heated.
Outspoken covers all things reality TV, influencers, entertainment and issues facing women.
That is so fetch.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I am so excited because tonight we are finally having a long overdue girls' night, and it's a chance for us to eat whatever we want to eat, binge on YouTube videos, and also to start entering some of the fast food competitions.
I'm super excited because I've already decided I'm getting myself nachos and hot chips. There was debate about whether we should go and get Hungry Jack's because they're doing that Uno competition.
It's so funny because I actually really don't like Hungry Jack's. McDonald's really? Is my choice, my preferred choice. But every Friday night, Brandon's like, oh, let's go to Hungry Jack's because they've got that Uno competition on. And we got it the other night. And it was a very subpar meal. But anyway, we got it the other night. And it's not as much fun as the McDonald's Monopoly. Because you know how you pick off a few of the different tokens. This one, you just pull off the whole lot and it's just over. Like, there's no anticipation.
That's how I feel about the Zombrero's $1 million burrito. Because I have probably entered that, I'd say, six times already. And it's sort of like, it's a digital thing. So you scan the code and it comes up with a digital scratchy.
Oh.
And there's just, I don't know, I'd prefer an actual scratchy.
Well, the other night I won free guacamole and I was a bit disappointed. I was like, really? I get this anyway with my vegetarian Zombrero's.
Well, that being said, it does actually entice me to go and buy their stuff though.
It's funny because when all the competitions come out, I'm like, surely people aren't going to get sucked into it. And every year, Kate, Sophie and I and our cousins, we get sucked right into the McDonald's Monopoly.
Well, it's always around summertime when you're kind of thinking, oh yeah, I want to, you know, be healthy.
It's just before summer.
Yeah, Sophie. Right before summer. And it's so funny because we have been known in the final weeks of the Monopoly competition to actually dine in. So we will dine in and we'll have a few different meals. And you feel like this absolute king sitting there with all of your tickets. But we have never won anything from there except, you know, the food prizes.
Yeah. It's really funny because I was watching Anastasia Kingsnorth YouTube this week and she did that old craze where you order what the other person has in front of you or you get what they've ordered. And she went to McDonald's, she went to KFC, she went to Krispy Kreme. And it was really funny because it was quite reminiscent of when you do order up big during the McDonald's Monopoly. Because at the start, you know, you're all giggly and laughing. By the end, you're just like, just absolutely filled with regret. You feel ill. And it was so funny. Their faces went so greasy from eating so much fast food.
You know that girl who just always seems like she's on top of things? You know that girl who just like walks into the room and you're just like, she's that girl. That's what we're going for today.
Now, do you guys know that girl who always seems to have her life together on Instagram?
I feel like there's a lot of people who pretend to have their life together on Instagram, specifically influencers.
Yeah, well, there's a name for that person. It's that girl. So for the last couple of months, TikTok videos about people who aspire to be that girl have been popping up.
So what is it exactly that makes you that girl? Because I haven't seen any of this on TikTok.
Okay, well, that girl is the girl who does all of those things that we know that we're supposed to do but don't. So there's a little bit of jealousy built into the term of that girl. So you basically want to be her and you know you should be more like her, but really, who actually has the time to be doing all of those things?
So is it kind of like a bitchy job, like I'm being that girl, or is it kind of like a goal?
No, it's like an aspirational that girl term.
Yeah, it's like a glow up, and it's also about romanticizing mundane things you do, like making a coffee or exercising or watering the plants. So
right, okay.
So basically, that girl gets up early, she makes her bed, works out, has a bowl of fruit, all before you've even woken up.
Sorry, I hate that girl.
Yeah, that girl is not me.
She also fills out gratitude journals, reads every day, studies hard, and you better believe she's manifesting stuff.
Mm. I feel like she's literally a walking Pinterest board. I feel like that's that girl.
And to be fair, like everybody wants to be that girl, don't you? Like I always, when I get up, I regret that I haven't gone to the gym or gone for a walk.
You look at that girl's Instagram account and she's been up for like 3 hours before you.
Oh my God. Does anyone do that in the morning where they wake up and they look at on their Instagram story and you're like, this person has had a whole life before gotten up.
Yeah. I know.
That is literally Brandon's sister because she runs either 5 or 10 Ks every day and I'm literally crawling out of bed, you know, 3 hours before she's completed it
all. You mean after?
Yeah, 3 hours after, so.
3 hours after, sorry.
And you're just like, that girl.
Well, what's funny is this trend is kind of like the wellness version of hot girl summer. So the difference is that you're not getting drunk and living your best single life. You're essentially being self-fulfilled and achieving your goals.
So it is basically, as you said, the opposite of a hot girl summer, because when you're doing a hot girl summer, you are not writing your journal, aren't you? You're not getting up at 5 a.m.
This is the really fucked thing, because I feel like when we were 21, no one did any of these things. Like no one wrote in a gratitude journal. Like, we'd be laughing at someone for doing that. You were just literally staying up late, rolling out of bed, finishing off your uni work.
Yeah. Well, do you guys want to know how to become that girl? Because some TikTokers have provided some tips.
Yeah, because I actually would like to become that girl. Because so if you're saying about back in the day that no one would do that, I actually would like to do that. I feel like people have their shit together when they are manifesting, when they are writing their goals. Okay.
Well, personally, I don't want to be that girl. I think that girl is a fake girl.
I've already got my own board, my manifestation board. I did draw a house on it that I wanted. Unfortunately, we missed out on that house. So
it doesn't work. Maybe you need to invest some more time in it. I'm currently manifesting one of those home lottery houses that is at Brighton on the Esplanade at the moment. But I'll let you know how I go with that one.
Well, let's see how many boxes you tick for that girl. So basically, if you're that girl, you go on a walk every day.
We do that, Amy.
Yeah, we do that.
You also eat more fruit and veg.
I have an apple a day.
Wait, more fruit and veg than what? Like the average person?
Yeah, it just says eat more. You've got to eat more fruit and veg to be that girl, essentially. Mm-hmm. You have to find a signature scent.
What?
Yeah.
Does that mean like with candles, or is that your own personal signature scent?
So my signature scent back in the day would have been With Love from Hilary Duff. So
I feel like that's a lot of our listeners' signature scent as well. Yeah.
How can you tell what someone's signature scent is online?
I don't know. It's just something wanky that you
I feel
have
like
to do.
They tell you about what it is.
All right, let's get through a few more of it.
Sorry, just on the signature scent, do you guys notice it? Back in the day, it used to be a thing for influencers to show off how many bottles of perfume they had, and it'd be like all in a row on their bathroom counter.
Yeah, very tacky. Mm. Okay, I'll quickly list a few more. So you've got to find your music taste, cut or dye your hair, try even harder in class, go on Pinterest and find clothes you like. I find that interesting because I've been trying to do that so I don't buy crap.
Oh, really? On Pinterest?
Yeah, I go have a look at like what's in fashion. But I mean, this was a while ago and I didn't buy anything.
I didn't even know that was a thing.
Yeah. Mm. Save your money up to buy your dream wardrobe. If someone is hurting you, leave them. Read more books. God, I'm not doing that at all. Make a sad playlist so you're prepared for anything.
What? So you have to be so organized that you've got your sad song list filed.
Oh, God. Be nice to everyone. Buy a bikini. Leave a toxic relationship. Stop eating junk food. Be direct, never desperate. That's an interesting one. Mm. Actually heard about...
Well, never desperate.
Yeah, actually heard Alex Cooper from Call Her Daddy talking about this, but we're going to go into that a little bit later. Stay out of drama, compliment other girls, forget about boys, you don't need them. LED lights are the best for your room.
So I'm guessing that girl is somebody in their early 20s. I don't think it's aimed at the early 30s market.
No, definitely not. Well, jokes aside, there is a bit of a problematic side to that girl trend, because when you flick through TikTok, it becomes quite apparent that to be that girl, you have to be white, thin, and able-bodied. So what if you don't look like that trend? Because a lot of people are like, no, I find it so motivating. But I feel like it would be very upsetting because there's some people that a lot of people that don't fit that mold.
But all the things that they're saying, lots of people can be that way. You can go on a walk every day.
You can do the things, but the way it's being presented online is that you have to do those things, but they have to be aesthetic whilst you're doing them and look a certain way.
But what I also don't like is I feel like we're trying to move away of this perfectionist thing on Instagram where everyone's fake about their lives. But I feel like this just perpetuates it further.
It really does. Can you imagine if there was a that boy thing?
Oh my god.
That boy, he writes in a gratitude journal, and that boy, he eats more fruit and veg. Can you actually imagine boys buying into that?
But the thing is, like, I get that it's promoting something like a healthy thing and it's motivating, but I find that quite Like, I mean, what if I'm not like that and I don't enjoy doing that thing? Does that mean I'm not going to have a great, successful life?
There's probably a lot of people who are posting that girl content as a bit of a joke online. But if you look at it, it does actually make people feel like shit if you're not that girl. Because there's the online, it's kind of saying, well, if you're that girl, you're amazing. You've got your life in check. And a lot of people don't like doing that stuff, but as you just said.
It's kind of like tricking people that you've got your life in check and you're having to document and prove to everyone. It's kind of like that term hustle porn that's been thrown around at the moment, because a lot of people are trying to prove to everyone that they've accomplished everything, that their life is so perfect.
Well, what I found quite funny is I only came across the that girl trend because Sophie Jane Miller, one of my favorite YouTubers, she was doing a video trying to be that girl. But for me, I've watched her videos in the past and I already thought she was that girl. So I found it quite ironic that she was trying to be that girl.
Yeah, because the people who are actually that girl don't even realize they are that girl.
In our Facebook community, let's make a trend that other girl, and let's put in all things that normal people do, or, you know, your regular Joe.
Okay, what's one of the things, Soph? What's on the top of your head?
To be that other girl, staying up late scrolling in your phone all night and then getting up a little bit late in the morning and rushing to work.
Not packing your lunch and buying lunch every day.
Having greasy, dirty hair.
I suppose maybe exercising in like unaesthetic activewear.
Oh, well, just what about not exercising at all?
Yeah.
Daddy, it is your founding father. Back at it again.
Alex Cooper has become one of the highest earning podcasters in the world after signing a reported $60 million deal with Spotify. The host of popular American podcast Call Her Daddy announced the deal via her Instagram, which will see the show air exclusively on Spotify from July 21st. The three-year deal is a huge win for Spotify, who has recently stamped its dominance on the market with some big-name signings. Amy, for those who don't know, can you tell us about Alex Cooper and the show Call Her Daddy?
Yeah, well, Call Her Daddy is a sex-positive podcast which was created by best friends Alex Cooper and Sophia Franklin. What's really crazy is just after 1 month of doing the podcast, Barstool Sports, which is a US digital media company, picked up the podcast, which is really, really rare. So Barstool were reportedly looking for a female-led podcast, as the podcasts they currently had were all aimed at men and they wanted to get female sponsorship on board. So it turned out to be an amazing move on the behalf of Barstool, because in the span of just 2 months, the podcast quickly grew from 12,000 downloads to 2 million. So the reason Call Her Daddy is so popular with fans is because the show literally doesn't hold back. Arguably, the most famous episode of the show is called the Gluck Gluck 9000, which is basically a step-by-step instructional guide by Alex Cooper on how to give a good blowjob.
When I first listened to Call Her Daddy, I was so shocked and taken aback because I'd never heard anything like it, but I feel like I'm really desensitized to it now.
Yeah, I remember the first episode I listened to, the girls were talking about that someone wrote in a question saying, hey, I've got an STD because I cheated on my partner and I don't want him to know. And their advice was, well, you should set up a threesome and make the guy think that he's got the STD from the other girl. And I remember listening to this and I was like, oh my God, I've never heard anything like this ever being discussed. And it's definitely not a podcast that you'd want to recommend to your mum to listen to.
Well, the thing that's so great about it is that it is so sex positive and it's actually putting women at the forefront of that conversation. Yeah.
Well, I think that's what helped them grow such a loyal following. And their listeners are, of course, dubbed the Daddy Gang. But in April 2020, the Daddy Gang were rocked when it became clear there was a feud bubbling between Barstool and Alex and Sophia, and this was all down to contract negotiations.
Well, this was the first time I'd even heard about the Call Her Daddy podcast, and I think this is what kind of really made it go even bigger than it was before and international.
Well, Sophia Franklin actually said that in a recent interview. She said that Call Her Daddy was big while the pair were recording, but it blew up when this feud became public. So in 2018, the women signed a contract which reportedly stated that they each made $75,000 annually as a base salary, which would go up to $100,000 after 3 years with additional compensation for downloads.
When you first hear $75,000 as an annual salary for a first-time podcast, you're like, wow, that's really good. But to put it into perspective, their audience grew so much that the salary was far beneath what they were actually giving to the network.
And you think about how much money they were drawing in through all of that advertising.
Exactly. Well, they actually discovered that they were earning below the industry standard and they had become the laughing stock of the media and podcast world in the US. So their initial attempts at renegotiating the contract were first turned down by Barstool's Dave Portnoy, but he later reneged and he offered the women a new deal. He said they would be paid an annual salary of $500,000 plus bonuses, 6 months off their initial three-year contract, and the right for them to reclaim the all-important IP for Call Her Daddy.
Wow, that sounds like a pretty good deal. I think I'd be signing up to that.
Yeah, but I mean, in light of what Spotify is offering them, $500,000 versus $60 million, it doesn't really seem like that good of a deal.
Well, I think you've hit the nail on the head mentioning Spotify, because I think the fact that Dave Portnoy said that they could have the IP of Call Her Daddy is the real linchpin in all of this.
Well, that wasn't very smart of them to then give it back to them, was it?
Well, it wasn't smart, but they knew that the girls could just leave up and start their own podcast anyway. Mm. So sadly, Alex and Sophia had a falling out. So this all happened because Alex was wanting to sign on to the Barstool contract, but Sophia wasn't happy. And Alex described the deal Sophia wanted to strike as insanity and explained she wanted to renegotiate her own deal, which she did. So it seems like Alex's decision to renegotiate, stay with Barstool for that extra year and then to own the IP has really paid out.
Well, it's been a massive payday for her because she has earned herself $60 million on this three-year deal. I mean, you would be absolutely kicking yourself if you were Sophia turning down Barstool's offer.
Well, particularly for the fact that they were allowing them to get their IP back, because now Sophia has lost any ownership of Call Her Daddy. Mm.
So, Soph, can you run us through what the actual details are surrounding Alex's deal with Spotify?
Yeah, well, Alex went into it on the latest episode of Call Her Daddy, and she told listeners that there was no feud or backstabbing with Barstool. She said that they had allowed her for the past 3 months to take meetings with heads of some of the biggest podcast networks, so obviously Spotify.
And also other podcast networks would have been really wanting to talk to Alex.
Definitely. So this exclusive deal between Spotify and Call Her Daddy begins on July 21st, meaning that you can only listen to the show using the Spotify app. So Alex announced that as part of this deal, she will also be dropping 2 extra episodes a month and will be launching a true crime style sex podcast as part of the deal. And I, for one, am so excited to see what this podcast is like.
I think it's a really clever move by Alex and Spotify, because we all know how popular true crime podcasts are, but adding sex element
she's really diversifying her podcast.
Well, you can tell for quite some time now she has been wanting to move away from purely talking about sex. I mean, she's opened up about her mental health on the podcast, and you can tell she was a little bit nervous to do so, because obviously she doesn't know necessarily if people want to hear about her life and different things like that. I mean,
the thing is as well that Alex has got a boyfriend recently. Mm. So the content that she's talking about is very different to when she was single and when Sophia was on the show. I mean, it was the single father era when Alex was on the podcast. I'm assuming this new era is the Spotify era.
I really appreciated when Alex spoke about the podcast meetings that she had with Spotify and other big networks, and the fact that she said she was the only woman in the room and that she had all the power in that situation, because it's a real stark difference to what it was like for Alex when she first started out in the podcasting world, because she shared that she had actually partnered with Harvey Weinstein's right-hand man to begin with.
I was quite shocked about that. So she was talking about how Harvey Weinstein's right-hand man really wanted the rights to her podcast initially when she was talking to Barstool, and how he invited her to a meeting at his office, and she rocked up to the meeting and all the lights were off in the room and he was just standing there.
She said how creepy he was, and she only managed to get out of that situation because another staff member managed to come back in and she literally latched onto them.
Well, the other thing Alex mentioned that was quite, I suppose it was a girl power moment, was she said that when all the news came out about the Spotify deal, she called a publicist to ask her to get all the publications to remove the reference to her gender, because all of the articles were like, female podcaster, as if it was just such a huge thing that a woman had achieved.
Well,
it.
They were focusing on the fact that it was the biggest deal for a female podcaster, but it's like, hang on, this is the biggest deal for really any podcast other than the Joe Rogan show.
Yeah, well, when Joe Rogan announced his $100 million deal with Spotify, we didn't see male podcaster Joe Rogan, did we?
No, exactly. You would never see that. As Alex said, that's not something that they would ever write.
Well, do you know what's really interesting is Barstool's response? Because when I first saw the press come out about the deal, I thought, oh, wow, has Barstool got some kind of payment? Because I wasn't actually aware that Alex owned 100% of the IP. But it appears that Barstool are actually quite happy about the deal because the head of Barstool, he spoke on his podcast, Dave Portnoy, and he said that they basically didn't have enough money to keep Alex. Like, they're really happy that she's been able to get that money, but they couldn't offer her something like that. And they've actually struck up a contract with her to still supply all of the merchandise. So Barstool make a large amount of money on their podcast merchandise.
Do you think they're kicking themselves that they didn't keep like 10% of the IP?
Oh, yeah, most likely. But I don't think they're going to be losing out because, as I said, they're still making all the merchandise. So Dave actually said, I'm very happy with the way it came out. And even going back, this is the nature of the beast. You sign somebody who is unknown, she explodes. It's no different from an athlete contract. She was always going to make millions. She was that big. She has Joe Rogan-esque numbers. This time we're fair. I get it. I understand. The world. Again, I'm pretty happy with how all this shook out, and we are going to closely work with her on the merch and an unnamed project that will hopefully be out in the next year or two.
Well, talking about someone that's probably not so happy about this deal, we touched on it before, but that of course would be Sophia Franklin, Alex Cooper's former co-host, who basically
and former best friend.
Yeah, who basically, you know, given up $30 million basically for not going on with this Barstool contract. So at the time of recording the podcast, Sophia has yet to comment on the Spotify deal, but she recently was interviewed on a podcast called No Jumper and said 1 year on, the Cooler Daddy drama is still having an effect on her mental health. She said, we were huge, but the drama just blew it the fuck up in a way that I can't even explain. It was wild. People love drama. They effing love it.
That is so true about the drama. As we said before, I think it was all the publicity around this feud that got a lot of people to actually go and download Call Her Daddy, because I know I heard Mamma Mia out loud talking about Call Her Daddy. I was like, what is this podcast?
Can we somehow have a feud and we kick like one of us off it, but like
I
still
keep
it? I
don't think anyone would care. But Sophia actually did also reveal in that podcast interview that she is making significantly more money than she was while working on Call Her Daddy.
Well, I'm guessing it's not $30 million.
No, it's not. But she's launched her own media company called Sloot Media. And I think you guys can guess what Sloot means. And she's now also got her own podcast called Sophia with an F. And I'd recommend people to go listen to it because I listened to it. I think it's the first or second episode talks about all the Call Her Daddy drama. And it is really interesting to hear her side of the story because I think Alex really dominated that conversation initially.
To be fair though, when I listened back to when the pair were on together, I think Alex was definitely holding that show together and took it more seriously.
Oh my God, Sophia was hilarious though. I do actually wish that Spotify had a deal that brought them back together.
Well, they were so much better together because they could really bounce off one another. I mean, I do side with Alex, but I think that's because I started listening after all the drama and I did really only hear her side.
Well, we did obviously touch on the loser of this whole situation, which is Sophia, but what about the winner? Because I personally think this is a huge win for Spotify because it really means Spotify has staked its claim on the audio market, because we know last year they signed Joe Rogan for a $100 million deal. Now they've got Call Her Daddy. I'm assuming a lot of other streaming services like Apple, they're going to be feeling quite threatened.
I find it so interesting how the landscape of podcasting is changing and so quickly. I mean, we saw Shameless have launched their own exclusive podcast with Listener.
Yeah.
So it's happening on a local front. It feels like podcasts are now kind of turning into having their own like streaming services like Netflix. Like, you know, you've got to listen to Spotify to have these podcasts and whatnot.
It's interesting because I saw people in the group talking about this Spotify deal and some people in the community were saying, oh, I'm not going to listen to it anymore because I just want to have all my podcasts in one space. And it's crazy because I'm totally different. Like I downloaded BBC Sounds the other day to listen to Stacey Dooley's podcasts and Gemma Collins. I don't even care how many apps I've got on my phone.
Do you know what though? I think there is a bit of a misconception with Spotify because I think a lot of people assume that you have to pay to listen to podcasts on there, but it's completely free. You just have to make up a username.
I do think this massive deal with Spotify will be a part of that education process that a lot of people realize, oh, Spotify is actually free.
Yeah, well, I can't wait to hear Alex's new series of Call Her Daddy, and I'm also very much looking forward to this true crime sex podcast dropping.
I'm Brittany Lee Saunders and I'm a YouTuber.
Let's get into the influencer rap. And Brittany Saunders announced on her Instagram story that her mum has been getting into some candle making. Now, I feel like this is a perfect lockdown activity that a lot of people would have been doing.
Yeah, except she's not in lockdown.
I know, but I feel like a lot of people got creative in lockdown and it's kind of stretched out into normal life now. So her mum's been making those really typical bum and body candles that you've been seeing everywhere on Instagram story. And they looked really cool. So Brittany told her followers that she's going to start selling them at her store, Fate. So I thought that's really cute. However, one of Brittany's followers got disgruntled and accused Brittany's mum of copying other people's candles. So this is what Brittany Saunders had to say in response.
Had a girl get very upset. Not very upset, but a girl just messaged saying, your mum has just copied other people that make candles. And people who make mattresses copy other people. Nothing is original these days. I'm not saying, oh my gosh, this is my mum's invention. There's lots of candle businesses out there, but it's just something fun that we thought we would get my mum to do. She can earn a little income and we can have some cute candles in our store. Just for the record, my mum did not invent candle making. She's not the first person to do candle mold making. I know it's not the first of its kind. Just wanted to clarify that. Bloody hell.
Brittany has a really valid point. I remember I went on Alibaba a few months ago and the candle mold started popping up for the bum candles and also the body shape candles, and it blew my mind. I was like, oh, okay, this is why everybody's been making them.
It's so true that, like, who has ownership over that idea? So many people are doing it. Like, yeah, who cares?
All candles look the same. Like, if you've got a, you know, a glass house candle compared to a Target candle, like, they pretty much look the same.
They look
it's the
same.
Ingredients, isn't
it? Yeah, they look the same, but they smell very different.
Yeah, Brittany Saunders' mum's candles might smell bloody amazing. Yeah, exactly. Who knows?
Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to another vlog.
This week, Lily Brown has been teasing a new business venture, and it is something she has been working on for over 2 years now. It's set to launch next month, and I, for one, am really excited to finally see what it is. She has revealed the new brand name. Have you guys seen it?
Well, it's called Chill, but it's got an E on the end, trying to be a little bit French or fancy.
This,
I don't know.
Is this something to do with her chili tattoo on her arm?
Well, I originally thought it was called Chili, and I actually like the brand name Chili.
Well, it makes me think if it's trying to be a bit fancy, but it's called Chill, that it's just sort of loungewear.
No, do you know what? They probably wanted to call it Chill, but that name was taken. So they've gone, oh shit, let's just spell it a little bit differently.
That's right. Well, she's now started the brand's Instagram account, and she has featured it in her Instagram bio. And the feed is very much your stock standard Pinterest aesthetic. And I had a look through because I really wanted to see if there were any clues as to what this brand was actually about. So there were lots of pictures of coffees and bunches of flowers and sheets. But if you actually
look... So cryptic.
So very cryptic. So if you look at the first couple of photos though, it said hashtag sleep with chill. So I was like, oh, okay, obviously this is pajamas or loungewear or something. So we still don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that's what it is.
Well, can't you tell by the name? Like chill out, Netflix and chill.
Well,
like,
but then, okay, so she had
I'm so bamboozled by what it could
such
be.
Such a brain buster. So, well, then she has shared a couple of photos and of behind the scenes of the shoot, and she showed a photo of herself in activewear. So that's where I'm like, what is going on?
It looked like she had kind of, you know, like Kim Kardashian Skims. So maybe they're for under.
No, because she released a YouTube video this week, and it was a day in the life, and it showed her preparing for the photo shoot. And funnily enough, she mentioned that Shani Grimmon has come along to help her with the photo shoot and act as some sort of support.
So did they get photos on that staircase that were used in
Madison
Woolies?
No, they didn't. It was actually taken at some old manor. It wasn't that place. Anyway, she showed herself...
A different mansion.
It was a different mansion, yeah. So they showed her shopping to get some behind the scenes stuff, and she picked up some seamless G-string. So I don't know if it is a skim sort of...
Why was she not using stacks as seamless G-strings? That's all she's been talking about on Instagram. Didn't she share a photo of herself at the shoot wearing a G-string and a big T-shirt? Did you see that?
No, I didn't actually.
It made me think of the Lorde album cover. It was a bit like that, a bit of an up. I was going to say upskirt, but up bum shot.
To be honest, I'm loving Lily Brown at the moment. I was never really a fan of her content, but I feel like she's been a lot more real lately.
She's really grown up a bit.
Yeah, she does seem to have grown up. And I really like the fact that in her vlog, you can see how hands-on she has actually been in the process. And I feel like she's not, you know, it's actually shown what a proper startup business is like.
It's funny because I'm looking at the photo that she uploaded on Instagram, and I'm not sure if she's in the nude or there's nude-colored leggings.
What is this?
It's hard to tell, isn't it? I literally think that she's got skins on. Or skims.
Oh my god, that's how blind I am. I literally thought she was wearing green leggings, but Kate's now brought the photo to my attention and it does look like underwear.
Hey, you know, like the Emperor's new clothes when they try like literally just trick him into thinking that he's wearing these expensive clothes. Maybe that will be the next influencer brand. So she's just nothing. You just buy nothing.
So she's either nude or in nude/green leggings.
But those but those underpants are from Kmart, so they can't be the product. Maybe it's the top.
Just
then.
A thought. Does that mean if she is doing a pajama line, it's gonna rival Sophie Kasia's?
Well, so many influencers have pajamas. Like Georgia Love's got pajamas. Yeah, like that's not true. The only influencer pajama line.
Now, what do you guys think about this whole secret project thing? We've spoken about it a few times. I mean, personally, I'm actually waiting and hanging out to see what it
really?
Is.
So,
but I mean, but the thing is, I'm not.
You
gonna,
need a life.
Yeah, but
I'm
not going to buy it. But I'm kind of interested to see what it is.
I'm not interested because it's just going to be your typical loungewear or activewear.
Yeah, but would you rather be involved in the process and know beforehand, okay, I'm making a sleepwear line.
Yes.
And yeah, because it doesn't make sense because she's doing these behind the scenes vlogs and you can't even say what she's doing.
That's what that's what I don't get. I don't know why an influencer can't just come out and say, hey guys, I'm actually just going to be launching a pajama line. I'm thinking of this, and then actually just launch it. But there seems to be, I think because everybody does the whole secrecy thing, they just follow.
I can understand from a marketing perspective wanting an immediate call to action when there's the most excitement over it, but I feel like influencers already have that inbuilt audience that they're always going to get that flood of people buying the product. So I think it would be interesting to be taken along on the journey. I mean, that would make it different from every other influencer.
Oh my god, I'm gonna cry. My diamond earring my diamond earring came off in the ocean and it's gone. There's people that are dying.
The Kardashians have just wrapped up filming their reunion show for Keeping Up with the Kardashians, and it seems like there were a lot of bombshells dropped. Sophie, what's your favorite been so far?
Well, they really didn't hold back. I mean, what's quite interesting is the Kardashians are always known for bearing it all on the reality show, but they did reveal a number of topics that were off limit during filming.
What would they have actually been? Because a lot of the lead dramas on that show were personal relationship issues they were having.
Well, it really came in the later series, I suppose, when they were even bigger celebrities. And a lot of the off limit stuff was involving Kourtney Kardashian. So it had a lot to do with her new relationship. So if you remember, none of her current relationships have been aired on the show at all. So host of the reunion, Andy Cohen, asked Khloé if she felt as though she had carried the show in the last few seasons because, of course, she bared it all. They documented her being cheated on by Tristan Thompson only weeks before giving birth to True. You know, she put everything on the line. And Khloé said that she felt as though she and Kim had given so much compared to other family members. And she said that maybe others weren't holding up to their end of the deal too.
Well, I can see why she would feel like that. I mean, it was quite apparent that Kourtney was being pretty closed off. It also seemed like Kourtney didn't really want to be involved in the show at all.
Yeah,
well, but she still profited from it.
Remember that huge fight that they had where they had that punch up and basically they were all saying, you don't share anything. We have to share everything about our life.
Well, they did touch on that fight during the reunion, but going into Kourtney not sharing her relationships, Khloé said that because so much of the early show was focused on Kourtney and Scott, Kourtney demanded not to have anyone talk about her new boyfriends because she felt like the public was so invested in her and Scott.
I kind of feel for Kourtney though, because it's true. A lot of the storylines were around how toxic her relationship was with Scott. And while she may have not really given people a big insight into her personal life in the latter series, in the opening ones, she definitely was. I mean, she had Mason, the birth of Mason, filmed. We basically saw her rip Mason out of herself.
But that,
you know.
But that being said, in regards to Khloé, she has shared everything. She also shared getting cheated on by Lamar Odom. And, you know, at her peak of fame, she also shared again that she was made to look like a fool with the whole Jordan Woods cheating scandal with Tristan Thompson as well.
Do you think, though, with Khloé being so open with the audiences, that might be why she's so popular? Because I do feel like Kim and Khloé are a lot more popular than Kourtney.
I don't know. I feel like people do like Kourtney, but from her, in her defense, I wonder if she didn't want to share her relationships, especially with that young model, Jonas, is that his name? Because I wonder if she felt like, is he just using me to get a bit of a profile? Because to be honest, Lamar Odom and Tristan Thompson, they're already known in their own right because of the fact that they are basketball players, but he was very unknown.
Well, I more feel as though she didn't want, everyone, I suppose, to speculate on her relationship and everyone getting involved in it. It all becomes a bit messy. In saying that, Chloe raised a very good point. She said, we weren't even allowed to talk about it, even though a lot of her relationships were being shared in photos by the paparazzi. And so it didn't really make sense for the show.
Yeah, well, I also heard that Kendall Jenner had a rule that she would not allow any of her boyfriends to be on Keeping Up with the Kardashians unless they'd been dating for a year.
Do you think that's why Kendall's probably the least popular Kardashian Jenner? Because I don't feel like I know her at all. Really?
I think that she's really clever because you kind of don't almost associate with her with a lot of the drama that's gone on. You kind of think, oh, wow, she's this huge supermodel that's above it.
I also wouldn't blame her not wanting to share those personal details because she didn't really have a choice of being on the show. She was a child when the show started filming, whereas Kim, Courtney, and Chloe, they signed up to that.
Yeah, but Kylie Jenner, she never really shared that much about herself on the show, especially in the last few years. There was nothing about her relationship with Travis Scott. She is always a background character on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. I'd say her most memorable series were probably the first and second.
Well, it's really because she managed to tap into that social media following early. I mean, she did post a lot online back in 2014 when no one was really using Instagram in the way that she was. So I think that's really how she's built her empire.
But you've got to remember, she did have her own spin-off show, Life of Kylie, where she was a little bit more open, but I wasn't really interested
in it. Did you ever watch it?
Yes, I did. It wasn't that good.
She didn't really reveal that much about her life.
Mm. Well, she went on about how she felt, you know, that she wanted to run away sometimes and didn't like all the spotlight. So that was pretty interesting.
Mm. Well, I think that's all we've got time for. Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We do hope you enjoyed it. If you did, can you please go and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts and go and subscribe on Spotify.
And don't forget to join in on all the conversations going on in our Facebook community, which is Outspoken, the podcast community.